Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
We start this afternoon on Capitol Hill, where this afternoon the US House of Representatives has overwhelmingly approved a bill that would ban TikTok from operating in the United States or force a sale of its US operations.
If American lawmakers are to have their way, TikTok will soon be put on a deadline. Either it severs all ties with the Chinese Communist Party and the Chinese company ByteDance, or it loses the access to the American market.
I can't remember a topic or a time where recently, that is, where Congress seemed as unified as it is right now about the idea of busting up TikTok or banning it in the U.S.
We have a long history of restricting our TV and radio airwaves from ownership by foreign governments and individuals due to the national security concerns that these arrangements pose. Social media companies should also face similar scrutiny.
They've described the TikTok application as a Trojan horse. But there's some of us who feel that either intentionally or unintentionally, this legislation to ban TikTok is actually a Trojan horse.
There's a lot of concern about TikTok these days. You know, the short video service, the one that shows dance challenges and fun little clips and funny stuff. It's banned in India. And many members of the U.S. government would like to ban it there as well, or at least force a sale. They assert that it's a threat to national security. Is it? That depends a lot on how you see its parent company, ByteDance. Let's help you know a little more about ByteDance. ByteDance grew out of real estate search engine 99Fang. That was started in 2009 in China by Zhang Yiming and Zhang Rubo. Those two and some 99Fang employees started work in 2012 on an app that would use big data algorithms to classify news stories according to user preference. They founded ByteDance to make that app, which later became called Toutiao. Now, Toutiao, despite having plans for English language versions at times, never became popular in the US, so you'd be forgiven if you have never heard of it outside of China. But it is, in fact, ByteDance's core product. You may have run into its video hosting service, which is similar to YouTube in that users can upload their own videos, sometimes, like on YouTube. Maybe they don't own those videos. Maybe they're television shows. ByteDance has also operated many other news apps, mostly in India and Southeast Asia, and among its many efforts was an app called A.me, launched in China in September 2016, and later changed to be called Douyin. Within a year, it had more than 100 million users in China. As Chinese companies often do, ByteDance decided to market Douyin under a different name globally, so it launched TikTok in September 2017 in India. And in November of 2017, it acquired a startup called Musical.ly, Musical.ly, which was also growing fast and, in addition to its Shanghai office, had a headquarters in Santa Monica, California in the United States. Now, Douyin was only available in China and TikTok only available in India, but adding Musical.ly into the mix made it available worldwide. So ByteDance decided to merge TikTok into Musical.ly, and it did that on August 2nd, 2018. After the merger, Douyin operated alone in China. Musical.ly no longer operated in China. And TikTok, the merger of TikTok and Musical.ly, operated everywhere else except China. ByteDance has gone to great lengths to offshore itself as much as possible while still being able to operate in China legally. So ByteDance itself is now registered as a Cayman Islands company with a principal business address in China. TikTok Limited is a wholly owned subsidiary that is also a Cayman Islands company, which itself operates several LLCs, which are registered in Singapore, the United States, Australia, and the United Kingdom. So, is TikTok a Chinese company? Kind of depends on who's asking and what you mean. It's not a lie to say no. TikTok itself is a Cayman Islands company. It's not a lie when you're talking about the U.S. version of TikTok to say no. TikTok is a Delaware LLC. But in the end, a lot of people who work on TikTok work for ByteDance, which has offices in Beijing. So if you're asking whether ByteDance or TikTok is a Chinese company, I think you're asking the wrong question. The question is, how much of what TikTok does happens in China? For Douyin, all of it. For the other regional variants of TikTok, some. The main algorithm appears to be developed by ByteDance employees in Beijing. So it's not impossible that someone in the Chinese government could ask someone at ByteDance to give them some information or maybe, you know, imply that they should make certain tweaks in the algorithm. The way things work these days in China, it wouldn't have to be an order, wouldn't have to have a paper trail, an insinuation that people in power would be pleased if certain things happen might be enough. So let's look at those scenarios, both data access and algorithm tweaks. There's no evidence of either of those happening. Let me repeat that. A lot of times there's indications or a paper trail or we found this. There is no evidence of either data access by the Chinese government or algorithm tweaks by the Chinese government. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen. Just means we don't have a single shred of evidence of it. So let's start by looking at the data access. And we'll focus here on the U.S. because the U.S. has the strictest data access policy in TikTok. U.S. user data for TikTok is stored on Oracle servers in Texas as part of something called Project Texas. The data is handled by an independent company called USDS, which was created to do this and has members of the U.S. Committee on Foreign Investment, CFIUS, on its board. USDS acts as a contractor to the Delaware LLC, TikTok LLC, in the U.S.
Right, a new report out showing that Chinese employees of popular app TikTok have gained access to U.S. user data, potentially exposing Americans' personal information to China's government. All of this raising questions.
In practice, ByteDance employees in Beijing have reportedly been copied on coding projects that included U.S. user data. Those instances have all been incidental. There was never a pattern of handing over that was identified. Doesn't mean it didn't happen, but it wasn't identified. These were the kinds of things where an engineer needed help on something, a moderator needed help on something, and they shared a screen or a file that they technically should not have shared with their colleagues at ByteDance in China. This would not necessarily deliver useful info into the hands of a ByteDance employee. Depends on what the screenshot was and what slice of the data was in the file. So it makes it less likely, not impossible, but less likely that this path is how the Chinese government would get data on people it wanted to get data on. It would be easy for Oracle or CFIUS to catch any more widespread accessing or searching of U.S. user data, and there have been no reports of that, just this incidental stuff. So we're left with the possibility that maybe some U.S. user data might have made its way into the hands of people working for ByteDance in China. But it would be much less complete and much less useful data than anyone in the world could buy from a data broker on the open market. So, I'll be honest, an objective evaluation would seem to say that exposure of U.S. TikTok user data to Chinese authorities is not very high, and in fact, more guarded from access by Chinese authorities than data stored with other internet companies that get sold on the open market by data brokers. So let's look at the algorithm next. Again, in the U.S., the algorithm is implemented by USDS and audited by Oracle. That said, it's a pretty complicated algorithm. It takes a long time to audit this. It's quite possible to miss certain effects or certain changes, especially because even the engineers in Beijing creating the algorithm don't always know exactly how it's going to act. One suspicion is that China could order the algorithm to push out recommendations of divisive topics in order to foment unrest in the United States. To do that, engineers in Beijing would have to make tweaks and then hope that those aren't noticed by engineers in Texas. That's an achievable goal if not done too often. However, it would not be certain to succeed, since it could either be caught and altered by USDS employees, or more likely, just not work the way they thought it would work. From the other side, the difference between China manipulating the algorithm and humans just causing the algorithm to do what it does best is kind of indistinguishable. Is it China fomenting unrest, or is it just humans going at it on the internet, which we tend to do very aggressively? Algorithms at YouTube, Facebook, and elsewhere are known to push some people into extreme and divisive content. So the fact that the algorithm did that would not itself be evidence of anything. However, I think an objective evaluation would say that China putting its thumb on the scale of the algorithm is possible, while its effects would not be guaranteed. And the risk here is probably slightly greater than the risk to society from domestic algorithms from U.S. companies. All of this needs to be considered under the knowledge that if China got caught doing any of the things its government is suspected of doing, it might tank the value of TikTok and therefore ByteDance. That might be a risk to China's government, but it might be a risk China's government's willing to take. It might be a risk to ByteDance's investors. But who are ByteDance's investors?
I am Shou Chu, and I'm from Singapore.
That's TikTok's CEO.
ByteDance is not owned or controlled by the Chinese government. It's a private company. 60% of the company is owned by global institutional investors. 20% is owned by the founder, and 20% owned by employees around the world.
ByteDance is 20% owned by its founders. Okay, that's a chunk, not a majority. It's 20% owned by employees. Okay, so now we're up to 40% people on the ground in China, but we're still not talking about anyone in the government. China's state-run Internet Investment Fund, here we go, owns 1% of the Beijing subsidiary of ByteDance. So the government owns a small, small part of ByteDance. And that itself is not unique. It's true of many Chinese companies that do not face the kind of scrutiny ByteDance has faced. It's just a thing they do in China. 60% of ByteDance is owned by global investors. All right, so who are these global investors? They include Jeff Yass's Susquehanna International Group, Kohlberg Kravis Roberts, SoftBank Group, Sequoia Capital, General Atlantic, and Hill House Capital Group. Those groups are based in Dublin, New York, Tokyo, Menlo Park, California, New York City, and Singapore, respectively. Suffice to say, the only interest behind ByteDance is mostly American. Now, the exception on that 60% is Hill House Capital, which is an Asian company. It's headquartered in lots of different places, but two of those places are Hong Kong and Singapore, and it's run by a Yale graduate who was born in China. Okay, so probably enough to cause a little suspicion, but not enough to sway against all of those New York, Dublin, Menlo Park investors, not to mention Tokyo. So let's take a look at the board of directors to see if we can detect any indication of more Chinese control than you might suspect given that investment mix.
ByteDance has five board members. Three of them are American.
The chairman is, of course, co-founder Long Rubo. He is Chinese, from China, went to school in China, started the company in China. All right, that one's easy. Then there's Arthur Danchik from Susquehanna. Well, that's not China. William E. Ford from General Atlantic, also not China. Philippe Lafont from an investment management company called Coachu, which is based in New York, and he's from New York. Finally, Neil Shen, a Chinese-born investment manager who now lives in Singapore and runs Susquehanna's Chinese investment arm. So Chinese, but running a non-Chinese company's investment arm. So the Chinese influence on the board appears to be the co-founder and an employee of a Western company who doesn't even live in China right now. It's not nothing, but it's not the kind of smoking gun you might look for if you're trying to show irrevocable Chinese influence on the board. And if you're like, well, I don't know, it sounds like it could be enough. Here's a comparison. Tencent is a Chinese company, owns a lot of gaming companies. If you've heard about Tencent, you might have heard about their gaming companies. They do a lot of movies and TV shows. You'll often see them as an investor on Hollywood movies. They are not under the scrutiny that TikTok and ByteDance are under. Five of the eight board members of Tencent were born in China. Four of them still live there. And of the three non-Chinese board members, one's from Hong Kong, and the other two are from South Africa and Russia. So, not your big Western-leaning board, and yet Tencent getting zero scrutiny at the moment. ByteDance appears to have a heavily Western-influenced board of directors and a heavily Western slate of investors. All right, let's recap what we have found. Technologically, it is possible but not easy for the Chinese government to somehow make changes to the algorithm of TikTok. It would be hard to detect from background noise and difficult to predict how effective it might or might not be. It's less likely that the Chinese government would use its rather inconsistent access to US user data in any useful manner when it has much better options. And the motivations behind the company, the investors, appear to be mostly Western. While it has obfuscated its ownership with several paper companies and the Cayman Islands thing, the trail leads back to Western and mostly American investors. Now, one name that you may be familiar with because he appears in front of Congress, he did a TikTok video recently saying you shouldn't ban TikTok in the U.S., Shou Zi Chew. He's the one that runs the subsidiary LLCs in multiple regions. Chew is a Singaporean. Born in Singapore, schooled in London, and previously employed by Goldman Sachs, as well as Russian Yuri Milner's DST Global. So, not a Chinese national, not a former Communist Party official, and somebody who's fairly Western, to be honest. He's somewhat immaterial to the deductions that I'm making. He makes a nice face for TikTok in the US because he can credibly say he's not Chinese. He's not. But his ultimate boss is Long Rubo, the CEO and chairman of the board of ByteDance, who is thoroughly Chinese. You are more likely to have heard, if you have heard of anyone else involved with ByteDance, of Zhang Yimin, who co-founded ByteDance and is the more colorful of the two. I could give you a pretty good rundown of Zhang's credits and the fact that he's probably not a member of the People's Liberation Army or even a member of the Communist Party. However, it's really difficult to find details on Long Rubo. That doesn't say he is or is not a member of the Communist Party or a former member of the People's Liberation Army. It just means it's hard to find any details on him.
We're talking about Zhang Yimin, who is the CEO. He's going to be handing the reins to Rubo Liang, who is the HR chief. They put out a memo to employees today. Zhang Yimin, by the way, he founded the company in 2012. He says he wants to focus on long-term strategy. That's where his eyes are set now.
And again, this was Zhang resigned as CEO in May 2021, not that long ago, to focus on long-term strategy. That's often code in tech companies for being bored with being a manager and wanting to go do fun stuff. Larry and Sergey at Google said kind of the same thing. So I don't find anything particularly suspicious about that. To my way of thinking, this covers all the angles on ByteDance related to TikTok in the US that we could. So what are we left with? Concerns about TikTok's treatment of user data and the effect of its algorithms on public opinion are well-founded. However, they do not seem to be particularly unique from similar concerns at all other tech companies, including Chinese tech companies, who operate in the same space, such as Meta and Google and Tencent. There are some areas where the risk might be less, actually, because of the strict oversight of U.S. user data in Texas. There are some areas where the concern may be a little more because of the influence on the algorithm by a non-U.S. government. But neither of those appear to be in any way extreme concerns or extreme reassurances. They're minor blips on the scale. It may be that strict rules on how to protect user data or a solid system to let users guard it themselves could solve many of these problems. Nobody's suggesting doing that, or at least the people who aren't being listened to. It does feel like this is a misplaced priority. A lot of effort is going into stopping a company who is least likely to do the things that people are saying they are concerned about. Preventing TikTok from operating in the U.S. would certainly solve these problems for TikTok, but likely with little effect on overall public safety. Forcing ByteDance to sell TikTok to a U.S. owner would only change who might influence the algorithm or misuse the private data. And maybe we're more comfortable with people in the U.S. misusing our data than we are China. But it wouldn't be able to replicate the user experience as well if it was not part of ByteDance. It's already having problems doing that, having a separate company operating the algorithm and the user data in Project Texas. If you fully separate the company, those problems are going to get bigger. In other words, I hope you know a little more about ByteDance. Know a Little More is researched, written, and hosted by me, Tom Merritt. Editing and production provided by Anthony Lamos in conjunction with Will Saddleberg and Dog and Pony Show Audio. It's issued under a Creative Commons Share Attribution 4.0 international license.
Dog and Pony Show Audio.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.